In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We must begin in our own homes, and that means in our own hearts, because that's where we dwell first. Where your love is, where your aspirations are, where you save up all of the things that you wish you could be. We call this poetically the heart. In the heart, we must have a definition of who we are that will enable us to give a pushback against the world. It is so disheartening to see the kinds of things that women have to suffer at their own hands and at the hands of others. Women suffer because they do not have enough self-esteem. And the self-esteem is a problem because they don't get a lot of positive feedback from the things that are innately theirs, that were given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ. So the world has replaced the glory of those things with a different type of glory. Primarily, a woman is known for her ability to seduce, whether she does so by physical attractiveness or by personality. But she's a seductress. Maybe you know in your study in history of World War II, there was a woman who was called Tokyo Rose. And Tokyo Rose was meant to break down the morale amongst the people that were fighting, the Allied powers that were fighting against the Axis. Why did they choose a woman? Why do you think? And you've all heard about the spy, Mata Hari. Right? I hope. Google this. Somebody study history. Why was she effective in London in the 60s? There was the Profumo affair. This was a member of the House of Lords in Parliament who had a mistress. And this mistress was a conduit of information to the communists at a time when the Cold War was very, very serious. This is the way women are used. And it's because the world preaches that. And not enough of what Jesus Christ says is preached. In homes, regularly, so that the true basis of glory for the female gender is understood by those who possess it. Now, there are some things that are underscored that you can take, and I don't know what effect it has upon you, but it has a great effect upon me. I watch a lot of sports events. And in almost every sporting event, when the camera comes on one of the athletes, you can hear him say, or read his lips, saying, "Hi, Mom." Never says, "Hi, Dad." It's always, "Hi, Mom." Why? Why? Because see, there's something profound about the relationship between mother and children. In this society, you're some kind of an idiot if you have a desire to have 8 children, for example. You know, if you want to go after a PhD or even a second PhD, oh, what a wonderful woman. But if you wanted to have 8 children, oh, there's something wrong with you. Isn't that the old joke, I want to keep her home barefoot and pregnant? Sure. I know all these things. If you don't, then you just haven't heard them yet. But this is what is rife in our society. And in order for there to be some kind of a change amongst the way that men treat you, then they've got to hear this in their homes when they're being raised. If the man does not learn to respect the woman when he is a child, he will certainly not respect her when he's an adult. Which is why you have the black people, right? Using the B word. I can't say it in church, but you know it. And why? What do the black people call white people? Honkies. Why were they called honkies? Because they would honk their horn and a black woman would come out and get into the car with them and they would go someplace to do something bad. Now when a young man sees this, and that is the overarching definition of femininity, how is he going to treat women as an adult? Most of you should know, if you don't, the comedian Richard Pryor, one of the most brilliant comedians of the world, has ever produced. And the reason why is because he lived with so much pain. His grandmother was the keeper of a house of prostitution. And his mother was a prostitute, her daughter. And that was his mom. And there were a torrent of men in and out of the house all the days he lived. Is it any wonder Richard Pryor married 7 times? How could he respect women? How could he respect any woman? All that he had seen led him to those epithets. So here we have in contrast, the way that God looks at women, the one who created them. And this is what this is all about. This, when we come in church in the evening to pray the Theotokia, which are the praises to Saint Mary, we begin to see not why she's venerated or worthy to be venerated, but what her essence consists of. And this essence is in all women. But many put it aside. Every time I pass a checkout line in the supermarket, I see the most salacious headlines written about women. Horrible things. And in most of the cases, they're deserving. Think of the names of people that you know, famous women who have made spectacles of themselves. Think about it. And they are proud. This may have... this may have started a long, long time ago. You know what the Parthenon was, do you not? The Parthenon, which comes from the word Parthenos, which means virgin. There were no virgins in the Parthenon. They were sacred, unmarried prostitutes. And if you wanted to go in and worship the god, you would go in and you would lay with one of these women. And that was the Parthenon. And I imagine some of the women were famous. There's a terrible old story I'll tell some of you about that later on. But I want you to understand why we need to think seriously about every line that we hear in the praises of Kiak and the time that we give over to thinking about the incarnation of the Word of God. He took flesh from St. Mary, and he became man, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This event could have occurred in a myriad number of ways. The Lord did not need to take flesh from St. Mary. The Lord did not any more than when he created Archangel Michael or Soriel or Sadakiel or Seraphiel or Ananiel or Gabriel and Raphael. When he all of the archangels, did he take flesh? No, he didn't take flesh. His only begotten Son could have been made entirely of spirit. He could have used a different type of economy. He chose a particular type of economy. And he chose that it would come through women. Women. It's written that the firstborn male that opens the matrix will be called holy unto the Lord. The matrix is their word for cervix. And it doesn't matter if you had seven daughters first, the first male that opens the cervix will be called holy unto the Lord. He is to be dedicated to the Word of God, to the preaching of God. People forget this. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be an engineer. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a pharmacist. I want to be... What does it say that God wants? The firstborn child will be called holy unto the Lord. You know what the word holy means? Separated. The use to which you will put the firstborn male is in the service of God, period. No addenda. The firstborn male is to be given to the Lord. If we believe. See, everything begins to degrade slowly. Like if you have a rope, and the rope is made up of hundreds of twines. Each twine is very simple to break. But when they're woven 100 together, you can't break that rope. But piecemeal, we stop remembering the things of the Bible. We stop thinking about the dignity that we were given by God innately. And we start to accept the definitions and the impress of the world. So when you go to a counter at Nordstrom's, you will find 1,000 different types of makeup, at least. Think about it. Think about how superficial and how shallow the definition of self has become when you accept what the world gives you. I was in the... I went to a dermatologist on Friday, and I wanted to be screened for skin cancer because I have fair skin and I've had bad sunburns in my life. I have what they call actinic keratosis, which just means you got these ugly looking spots, but none of them are cancerous. Thank God. In the waiting room, guess what there was all over the waiting room? Magazines, Marie Claire, Vogue, all of these fashion magazines, right? I picked up a Vogue to start to look at it. The first thing that I saw on the back page of this was a pair of boots for the low price of only $3,495. And who buys those? I opened up another page. Oh, Jimmy Choo. How are you, Jimmy Choo? Manolo Blahnik, how are you? Who wears those shoes? You know how many people you can feed for $3,495? And these shoes are only going to be worn once. Because they are so distinct, people will say, oh, you're wearing those again? So if you have a pair of brown shoes, you can wear a brown shoes ad nauseum. It's just brown shoes, nobody even notices. Men all wear black shoes primarily. Just some old black shoes. People don't even look at men's feet. They're not worth looking at, I agree. But can you imagine? Why do women buy that stuff? And then, oh my goodness, the ads for jewelry. You can't imagine the things. Yes, you can. If you've seen a Vogue magazine, you can imagine it. And it comes out every month. Isn't that amazing? It's not the only one. And I know there are people that are so happy if they get like a Gucci handbag. I mean, not one from out of the trunk of a Mexican, you know, down in Los Angeles. I mean a real Gucci, you know, or a Louis Vuitton, right? They have handbags that are in the thousands of dollars. Why do women buy those things? Because they have abandoned the definition that their God, that their Lord, that their Creator, that the one who loved them more than anyone can ever love them gave them. They abandoned that definition and they accepted a different definition of themselves. Remember the word kodush. The word kodush means separated. It means that I am going to limit the use to which I am going to allow myself to be put. You see this? This is just a piece of pot metal. It's pot metal. It means it's a real cheap kind of metal. But it was formed into something. And this, by the way, is a very cheap piece of glass in the middle. Now, it was coated with 24 karat gold. It was plated. I'm rubbing it off as I go, as I handle it over the course of a few years. But once it is in this shape, once this is in this shape, this is now separate from all of the other metals that it came from. If you take a metallurgical exam of this thing, it will compare nicely to all other things, yet this above all will now only be used for one thing. And likewise, you women, you are all the same. You are all exactly the same. But some of you allow yourselves to be put to uses that are ugly and disgusting. And you ask yourself, why am I not treated better? You know, when I was a kid in seventh grade, I had a teacher that told me, he pointed to a little space on a map and he said, you're going to be fighting a war there. Seventh grade, I was 12 years old, and the country he was pointing out was Vietnam. because Eisenhower had sent in people. Eisenhower. Next year came Kennedy when I was 13, 1960. Now, when you've lived a long time, you have history, and history is not just theory. It is an absolute fact of your existence, and you cannot deny it. Well, what happens? 50,000 of my generation die because Nixon chose the president of Ford Motor Company to become his Secretary of Defense, Robert McNamara. A name that I say, well, McNamara cried at the end of his life and wrote a book saying how sad he was and how he begged for people to forgive him for the way in which the Vietnam War was prosecuted under his command. But you see, when you allow people to dictate for you who you are, what you will become, if you're not hearing these things in your homes, you don't have a right to ask, why am I not treated better in the workplace? Why do I not make the same amount of money as a man? I've always laughed inside myself saying, women have something really congenitally wrong with them because they represent a plurality of the electorate. They could vote a woman into every single office in every single position in government. Why don't they? Why don't they? If they don't like this guy, say, sisters, let's rise up. Remember that song? I am woman, hear me roar in numbers too great to ignore. Numbers too great to ignore. That's right. But so many women don't think of themselves in their essential, nativity. And that's why we have to focus on the Lord's nativity. Because how did he prepare for that? Look, here's a priest. He's praying as I pray, and an angel appears to him. Now, when the priest prays, he has to be away from his wife. So that means he cannot return to his wife. He must be ritually pure and not have any relations with his wife during the time he is praying. Same thing applies to me. The angel appears to him and says, this is going to happen. Now? It's going to happen now. I have been waiting for a child my whole life, and now that I'm an old man, I'm going to have a child? Yes, because now is the right time. Now is the right time. At any other time, it would have been wrong. That's why you have this word in Greek called the pleroma. It means the fullness of time. In the fullness of the time, the Lord entered, who is timeless, into time. The eternal became temporal. And all of these things were done for us. We have got to return to our original nativity. What were we born for? What were we created for? We're going to be talking a lot about this for the next 4 weeks. But it's a time for everybody to think. When you go to buy things, why am I buying this? Am I buying this because somebody in theater, in the magazines, in popular media, is buying it? Am I buying it because I'm being manipulated? Am I buying because I'm giving in to what I think is going to be? Because above all, you have to know about me. I'm a people pleaser. And I want to please people. So I'm going to contort the image in which God made me so that I can make more distorted people love me. I'm going to contort myself to become a distortion. And then, remember the other week I said to you, have you ever heard a story in the Cynic Tsar, the book that we always read, that there was a woman and she was not very good looking, but somebody wanted to marry her anyway? No, it's always written, this woman was so beautiful. Always. Never such a thing as an ugly woman that somebody wanted to marry. It's never written in this book. There was an ugly woman, but she was really nice. Or there was an ugly woman, but she was really wise. Or there was an ugly woman, but she had this great talent. No, no. It's always a beautiful woman. And then I said to you what? The time when I visited the Rahabet, the monastery of women, and I saw Umina Irini and Umina Akhabi, who both are older, were older than me. And they were beautiful. And all I saw, because we were wearing about the same thing, was just drapery. I saw just this little oval of their face. And it was shining, and it was bright, and it was beautiful. And I had this overwhelming desire to want to kiss both of them. I did kiss both of them, but on the hand. And of course, they jerked their hand away, but I'm stronger than they are. So I got to do what I wanted to do. But they were beautiful. And these women were all, well, late 50s anyway. It's that kind of beauty that really compels a man. That really compels a man. You know, I take my grandson to Buccaneer Bay, Splash. And every once in a while I will see some Jews or some Muslims come in. And you can tell them right away because the girls do not dress in bathing suits. Every other little girl is dressed in a bikini or something equally revealing. I remember I told this woman about 40 years old one time, I said, would you mind taking off your dress? And she had this really shocked look on her face. And I said, well, isn't it the case that you go to the beach, that you take your girls, her Sunday school class. This is, by the way, this was in St. Anthony's Church in Hayward, California. And you take them and you take them to the beach. I said, what do you wear? Regular bathing suit. I said, well, isn't that essentially what you have on underneath your dress? Do you have more? Do you wear extra stuff underneath your dress? So you're out there on the beach and you're just in, you see? People have lost. The Orthodox Jewish girls and the Muslim girls were dressed with leggings and shorts and shirts that went from the top of their neck to the bottom of their wrist. Everything was covered. They still enjoyed the water. They still enjoyed the water. And I went up to a couple of them and I said, I admire your modesty. I admire your modesty. Because just as a woman who came into the church right now unclothed would gather all of our attention immediately, so would a woman who comes to an environment where everybody else is almost completely naked, fully clothed. And which one is more attractive to a man? Well, I'm a man and I can tell you. Mystery. Mystery is always more seductive. A mysterious woman is always more seductive. The woman who is in the centerfold display of a men's magazine or something that you can access through pornographic sites on the... not interesting at all. It's just there. It's just there. But it's not interesting. And why do these things occur? Because we have forgotten about the Lord's nativity, about the sacredness of his entrance, about the way he prepared for his mother, about how her parents were prepared, about all of this, meaning the institution of the family and its values. And now we are taken over by something that's completely ugly and pernicious. Because it causes the kinds of lyrics that occur in rap music that I can't even repeat. So, this is just, we'll get to more of these things in due course over the next 3 weeks. I'm not going to speak about this particular topic again. But for men too, the reason that you desire to look upon a woman unclothed is not simply because of your nature. And thank God that men find women beautiful. Thank God it is a gift. This attractiveness is a gift. It's the same kind of gift you get when you bite into a nice piece of fruit and it's sweet and it's juicy. It didn't have to be that way. We could be like hamsters and eat food balls. Pellets. God could have made pellets all over the ground, and when we were hungry, we walk around, scrape up a handful, and chomp on them. He didn't do that. He made fruits to entice us by their fragrance, by their beauty and their color, and by the variety of flavors. He did all of this, so thank God he gave us this attraction. But when we use it to say, I'm undressing this person with my eyes, why do you want to do that? And it's because you've heard from the women themselves that this is how we like to be loved. And it's a lie for a woman to stand in front of a mirror and to fiddle with her hair and to fiddle with her makeup and to make holes in her ears and put shiny baubles in her ears and things around her neck and things on her wrist. I've seen toe rings. I've seen nose rings. I've seen rings in places that you should never put a ring. And for what? I want to be noticed. I want to be noticed. This starts because the family itself does not read the Bible, doesn't think about the things of God, and simply goes further and further and further astray with what is sensationalized and made ugly through pornography. And we have to be the pushback, as I said at the beginning of this sermon. We have to form a pushback. If we, the people of God, are not going to push back against this stuff, no one is. No one is, and no one will. So may God give us the fortitude and the strength, as St. Paul said for himself, when he went to Rome, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I will live it as best I can. And I will promote it as best I can. Maybe you know this or you don't know this, but my wife has never worn lipstick. At least the 37 years we've been married. 37 years. Why does somebody need to put lipstick? Oh, well, it looks, and then you fill in the blank. It looks, and then you fill in the blank. Who told you that? You know, men should for 1 week, men should start wearing lipstick. Every man in the world should start wearing lipstick. And then let women kiss them. It's like being on a surfboard when the wax is too warm and you just slip and slide all over the board. I won't go into it any more deeply than that. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, into the age of all ages. Amen.
Zechariah the priest.